بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. So alhamdulillah, last time we were reading Imam al-Muhasibi's advice, and he was discussing the importance of the intelligence, of the intellect, and then he was speaking about the importance of action. So he said, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ مَا تَزَيَّنَ أَحَدٌ بِزِينَةٍ كَالْعَقْلِ, that know that nobody has adorned themselves with an adornment like intellect. So if a person has intellect, it's the best adornment that they can have. We're not talking about just raw intellect that doesn't have an ulterior purpose, which is just to show off the intellect. That basically what he's speaking about is not that you can just solve very complicated matters very easily and make certain connections very easily. But the idea is that intellect, to understand a prudent intellect, intellect of based on prudence, of what is beneficial for a person. At the end of the day, the human being is just not a vehicle for intellect. The human being is full of various different types of goals and ambitions. They have interaction with others. There's an ulterior purpose of life. So the fact that the intellect is just one aspect of that, it has to then be realized within all of those things. So if there's somebody who's just a whiz kid, who's just really good at something, as we get some people, but they have no idea about anything else about themselves, how to speak to somebody, how to interact with somebody, what is beneficial for them, what is harmful for them, then what's the point of that intellect? You can't just separate intellect out of a human being and just revel at it and compliment it if that intellect isn't doing anything for the human being in a more wholesome way. Because every aspect that we have, right, is interlinked with other aspects. That's what makes us who human beings are. Then we have a purpose. Then there is obviously a time in this world, and then we have an idea of the hereafter. So the intellect has to play a part in every one of these aspects. It can't be seen as just in a vacuum of its own. So some of us may be thinking that if he's talking about praising the intellect so much, then that means the one who seems to be the fastest at solving at puzzles, the one who seems to have the greatest IQ, must be the most adorned individual. Do you see what I'm saying? But IQ was a big deal 20, 30 years ago. Now they're talking about more about EQ, an emotional aspect of it. So it looks like for some reason we went right down to the beginning of IQ, and then now we're realizing that IQ is not everything. It plays a part in life, but it has to be seen within everything else. So that's very important to understand. So that's why he says that when looking at it in a wholesome way, that intellect is extremely important. And that is because intellect is going to make you help us make certain decisions which are useful for us. Then he says, وَلَا لَبِسَ ثَوْبًا أَجْمَلَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. However, he then says clothing. So he's saying adornment is intellect. So adornment is in general, anything that you use as an adornment. Then he says in specific, he seems to bring clothing specifically. And he says the clothing, the most beautiful and attractive clothing that anybody can wear, smart clothing that anybody can wear, is knowledge. And again, it's the same thing. You can't see knowledge as just somebody who can reel off a lot of facts. Somebody who just has everything up there and is very good in a general quiz. They just have a lot of detail, a lot of data. Right? That's not the point. So it is more about having wholesome knowledge that is to your benefit, and to avoid knowledge that is not to our benefit. Otherwise, there's a lot of detail out there that we can waste our time with. Can artificial intelligence, AI, ever catch up? Can it really be the same thing? So the simple way to understand that is that if you get a guy who only knows, who doesn't know any Urdu, right? Let's just take the word Urdu or Arabic. Doesn't know any Urdu, any Arabic, but he's taught. He doesn't know how to speak. He doesn't know how to understand it. But he knows the alphabet only. Right, and he knows how to mix it up. So now you put him in a room with all of these books that are all in Arabic or Urdu or whatever, whichever, just say Arabic. He doesn't know any Arabic himself. and through the hole in the door, you're sending him little pieces of paper with some details on it. So what he has to do basically is go on, decipher that and find out where that's found. And when he finds it, he basically goes and provides that reference to them. Does he understand what's going on, or is he just literally combining details together that he has no idea of? Do you see what I'm saying? He knows that I can find this, these kind of symbols are found here and these are found in here. So he brings that information, writes it down because he knows how to write or type, and then he sends it back. Right? Now you can clearly see that there's going to be mistakes made in that. That is where artificial, you can get really good at it in terms of getting the right information. Right? Okay, this means this, so get that information. But you can't process that information. So you can't use your own intellect in that case to actually understand what is being said. Right? You're just literally making connections. So that's pretty much what artificial intelligence does right now. It just does it very well. But it doesn't understand, it can't correct errors, for example, in that sense, unless he's been trained to do that in particular. So nobody wore any garments that were more beautiful than knowledge. And then he gives his reasons. He says, because لِأَنَّهُ مَا عُرِفَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْعَقْلِ وَلَا أُطِيعَ إِلَّا بِالْعِلْمِ. Now remember, for Muslims, the ulterior purpose is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is life without Allah? That's why he's saying that the reason for this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never been recognized except through the intellect. You need the intellect to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain an awareness of Him. So that's why it makes it so important. It's the tool to understand Allah with. That's why it's so important. But then also in that, he's indicating of why intellect is so important, why you need it in the first place. Then he says, لِأَنَّهُ مَا وَلَا أُطِيعَ إِلَّا بِالْعِلْمِ. And without knowledge, you can't show obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except through knowledge. Because let's just say somebody who doesn't know much, they've not had a very good life in terms of the deen, suddenly they get really inspired because somebody died in their family and they saw a death or something, and now they want to start doing something for the sake of Allah, but they don't know where to start, they don't know how to pray properly or whatever the case is. Can you see that even though they want to obey Allah, they don't know how to obey Allah? So you need knowledge for that. And the more we gain out of that knowledge, the more ways we'll have to, inshallah, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, he says that لَوْ كَانَ لِلْعِلْمِ سُورَةً, that you know, if you were to give a form to knowledge, if knowledge was to take on a form, a representative form, لَكَانَ سُورَةُ أَحْسَنَ مِنْ سُورَةِ الشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ وَالنُّجُومِ وَالسَّمَاءِ. Then literally the form of knowledge, I mean, if it took a depiction of something, if it could be visualized, it would be more beautiful than the sun, the moon, the stars and the sky all put together. It would be the most beautiful thing because of what it can provide. Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu says that al-ilmu, and again these are perspectives of how they found knowledge and what they're saying about knowledge, which gives us an understanding how it benefited them. So he's saying that al-ilmu hayatul qulubi min al-jahl. The only way to basically give some life to the heart and remedy the ignorance, to basically remove the ignorance and give it health, is basically through knowledge. وَمِصْبَاهُ الْأَبْصَارِ مِنَ الظُّلْمَةِ. And likewise, with knowledge, it's basically the lantern of the eyes from darkness. Otherwise, essentially, what evil is being represented, or ignorance is being represented by darkness here. So when you have knowledge, you'll be able to see, no, that's wrong. That looks attractive, but it's wrong. وَقُوَّةُ الْأَبْدَانِ مِنَ الضُّعْفِ. And likewise, if you have knowledge, then it will be the strength of the bodies away from weakness. How does knowledge provide strength in the body when you're feeling so tired? How do you think that's going to do that? I can understand illuminating the eyes in terms of what you see, in terms of removing ignorance. But he's taking it to another level. He's saying that you're going to get strength out of this. Like he's talking about, you know, you learn stuff and you get physically strong. What is he talking about then? Motivation. Of course, because subhanAllah, there's people who are tired but they've got motivation. And motivation comes from the knowledge of something, some kind of resolution you need to make, some kind of goal, some kind, and that comes through knowledge. And we know with human beings, that's what it is, that people who are very tired, but then they need to stand up and do something, they will do it. You get the energy, it helps. Otherwise, shaitan will try to make us feel tired anyway. يَبْلُغُ بِالْعَبْدِ مَنَازِلَ الْأَخْيَارِ وَالْأَبْرَارِ. The more you study and the more you, inshallah, focus on it, it will basically take a servant up to the level of the most elect and the most righteous ones. That's what knowledge does to a person. That's why any small course you can take, you can't become a scholar, that's understandable, that's fine. Right? We got a question recently from somebody who said that, I think they've taken a vow that if so and so happens or something happens, then I'm going to become a scholar,
right,
of the deen. Right? So there were some technicalities there, but the main thing is that while the vow wasn't a valid vow, we discovered because of the way they said it, but we said even if it's not valid or whatever, you've got your whole life to become an Islamic scholar. So an Islamic scholar doesn't mean that I need to do the next 6 years full time. You've got your whole life to keep studying and studying and studying, taking courses, and alhamdulillah, there are more and more courses that are being available. You take two courses this year, you take another one course next year, the third year is a bit busy, so you take half a course, right? The year after that, you've got some time off, you take another course, just keep yourself occupied and keep learning something. I think that's the best thing. Right? And this is not just for non-ulama, even for the ulama, they may have spent 5, 6, 7 years having studied, but it doesn't end there. They have to also continue. I mean, that's the whole purpose of this institute anyway. So it's for all of us. Knowledge never ends. There is always more and more and more to learn. When are you going to call yourself an alim? Right? When are you going to say, I'm a scholar now? You see what I'm saying? Nowadays, the thresholds of that is quite low. I mean, you can just say, I've studied here and I've sat in his gatherings for a few days, and his and some of the top scholars of the world, I've spent 3 days here and 2 days there, met him in Makkah, Mukarramah, Medina, Munawwara, and he's a scholar now. Right? He's an alim, he's an alima now. Right? You know, subhanAllah, it's quite easy. So at the end of the day, let's not trick ourselves. Whether we've studied for 7 years, 6 years, or no years, let us continue to do something every year. Dedicate yourself to one course, whether that be a weekend course, an evening course, a one-off course, whatever the case is. It'll just make us better people and better, inshallah, more knowledgeable people. And he says, truly, يَبْلُغُ بِالْعَبْدِ مَنَازِلَ الْأَخْيَارِ وَالْأَبْرَارِ اللَّهُمَّ جَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ وَالدَّرَجَاتِ الْعُلَى فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And it will be that knowledge that will take you to the highest levels, both in this world and in the hereafter. He's saying, subhanAllah, this is again from himself, right? He's saying, وَالتَّفَكُّرُ فِيهِ يَعْدِلُ الصِّيَامِ. Just thinking over something to do with knowledge. This is obviously sacred knowledge we're talking about. Something, whatever it may be, that takes you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that makes you closer to Allah and gives you an understanding of the purpose of this world. Just thinking over an issue like that is better than fasting. Or actually equal to fasting. Doesn't mean you don't have to fast anymore. وَمُذَاكَرَتُهُ تَعْدِلُ الْقِيَامِ. And to sit and have these important discussions on aspects related to knowledge, it's equal to standing up and praying at night in terms of reward you can get. That doesn't mean that it excludes you from praying at night, because the Prophet ﷺ used to do both. وَبِهِ تُوصَلُ الْأَرْحَامِ. Now these are tangible benefits. The more you learn, the less problems you'll have with others, especially your own kin. So the more you know, then by that kinship will be tied. Your relationships will increase, especially with your family. How do you think that's going to happen? I'll tell you that sometimes the closest people you interact with are supposed to be your relatives. And not every relative of ours or every close person to us is a reasonable individual. Sometimes they do weird things. Sometimes they say strange things. Sometimes they act in a certain way. Sometimes they may do something wrong to us. The more knowledge you have, the more knowledge we have and the more piety we have, then we're able to tolerate that. Right? We can basically interpret what they're doing in a positive way rather than in a negative way. I'm assuming that this is saying that your akhlaq will improve. Your character will improve, and so on and so forth. And subhanAllah, you know, I'm telling you this, that there are so many times when something like that has happened and you get angry, And then you just suddenly think, you try to give an excuse. Because, you know, you've learned and you've studied things, so you're trying to give somebody an excuse that maybe they said it because of this. Sometimes, to be honest, you're angry with people because things haven't gone the way you wanted it to go. But if you really think deeply, you'll find out that it's not really the fault of the other person either. Sometimes we get angry because something hasn't gone right, and we blame the person in front, the other person, because there's nobody else who's a target right then. It seems to be coming from them because they were also involved. But then if you actually sit down in a cool-headed way, you realize that it wasn't their fault either. So knowledge is supposed to teach us all of these things, all of this kind of control, understanding, various ways of looking at something. The more you know, the more you understand, then we can say there's various ways of looking at things. It basically removes this narrow vision. And of course, وَيُعْرَفُ الْحَلَالُ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. The halal will be recognized and distinct from the haram. And that's a major plus. But then he's understanding knowledge in a very particular context. He's saying, وَهُوَ إِمَامٌ. Knowledge is your imam. Meaning knowledge is the imam. And if you consider knowledge as the imam, وَالْعَمَلُ تَابِعُهُ. The imam is a leader. So the follower to an imam is basically the action. So that means that you can't just keep studying and not have, basically you can't just go around town, around the country with the head of the truck, you know, the horse part, and that you don't pull anything with it. You're like, what are you doing? Like, why don't you just get a car then if you're going to go around in a horse of a truck without the carriage at the back, right? So at the end of the day, it has to beckon to actions, and action has to follow suit, which is amal. وَيُلْهَمُهُ السُّعَدَاءُ وَيُحْرَمُهُ الْأَشْقِيَاءُ. These are his last 2 points. Mu'adh ibn Jabal رضي الله عنه, he says that. This type of knowledge, this sacred knowledge, is only inspired to the fortunate ones. And fortunate here refers to those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for them to be fortunate in the hereafter. You know, it says in that hadith of Sahih Muslim that in the third trimester the angel comes and writes if the person is going to be a fortunate individual or is going to be a wretched individual in terms of their ending, right? So he's saying that, and the point with this is that this kind of knowledge we're speaking about is only going to be inspired to the ones who are fortunate in terms of the hereafter. And the ashqiya, the shaqi, the wretched one, the non-fortunate one, is going to be deprived of it. So let us see, I mean, how do we feel towards knowledge? How do we feel, like, in terms of trying to gain knowledge? Imam Firozabadi, Allama Firuzabadi, is one of the great scholars. He says in his Basairu Dhawi Tamyiz fi Lata'if al Kitab al Aziz, basically insights into the people of distinction with regards to the subtleties of the mighty Kitab, the mighty book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quite an awesome sounding name of a book. He says, Wa'alam annahu tabayyana fi ilmi al akhlaqi anna al fada'il al insaniya allati hiya al ummahat arba'un. He says it's very, very clear from the science of character and good conduct. Like, if you look at good conduct as a science, he says the one thing that becomes very, very clear is that human virtue, insani virtue, virtue of the human being, right? It's basically all boils down to 4 points. You know, when you look at a human being and you consider whether they have good character or bad character, it boils down to 4 essential elements. What are those 4 essential elements? He said, one is al-ilm, right? If somebody has knowledge, you're generally going to respect that person. Somebody who is ignorant, you'll respect him for something else, but then there's going to be a major thing missing, which is that they don't have knowledge. So ilm is the first thing. The second one, he says, is ash-shaja'a, bravery. Nobody wants to be with a coward, right? You've got somebody who's, mashallah, got a lot of resolution, got a lot of himmah, has a lot of bravery. You want to be with not unharnessed bravery that they go and do crazy things, right? That's why you need the knowledge with it to harness the bravery, to use the bravery in the right way, Families would be sick of a person like that who doesn't have bravery. Imagine if the father, who's supposed to be the head of the household, is a coward who's not willing to take a gamble, you know, like a positive gamble on something. Not a gamble of gambling, but, you know, to basically go and do something. He's always scared about everything. So that's the second point. The third one, he says, is iffah. Iffah means chastity. More of a tolerance and forbearance. So not indulging in one's desire. You don't see the person as just somebody who's always going after their stomach or going after their, you know, fulfilling the desires of the private parts. Somebody who fulfills, I mean, the natural desires, but is not going overboard with that. And somebody who has those desires. So it comes down to the moderation of these things. And the fifth one is adl, and which essentially, he'll explain anyway. Adl is justice, a sense of justice in everything. At the end of the day, if you look at anybody's character, think of somebody you think has good character. It's going to boil down to knowledge, bravery, chastity, and moderation and justice. Think of somebody with bad character and see why you dislike it. And you notice it's got something to do with one of these things. Guy, it's just too greedy. Right? It's just too tight, too stingy. Right? It's just too ignorant. Whatever, you know, whatever the case is. وَمَا عَدَى هَذِهِ فَهِيَ فُرُوعٌ عَلَيْهَا. Now, of course, there are going to be other issues that you will look at. But if you look at it, you can actually trace them to one of these four. They're all subsidiary issues that come from these four. أَوْ تُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ, or they're related to them somehow. فَالْعِلْمُ. So now, if you take knowledge itself, why is knowledge such an important aspect of these four? فَالْعِلْمُ فَضِيلَةُ النَّفْسِ النَّاطِقَ. Knowledge is important because that is what makes your intelligent being. That is what an intelligent being needs. The knowledge is related to the intelligent aspect of a person. This is a very philosophical definition, right? فَضِيلَةُ النَّفْسِ النَّاطِقَ is a very Aristotelian idea where he defined a human being as a haywan and natik, right? And natik here refers to intelligent, not just the one who speaks. Because nutk just means to speak. But it's talking about speaking with sense. Animals speak as well, but we're talking about speaking in a way that makes sense. So anyway, that's a very philosophical discussion. But وَالشَّجَاعَةُ فَضِيلَةُ النَّفْسِ الْغَضَبِيَّةِ. And shaja'a, bravery, that's to do with our faculty of anger. The heat. Like, get up and do something. And they say his water doesn't even move. Right, he's got no fire in him at all. He just sits back, gets trodden over, his family gets abused, doesn't do anything. So shaja'a is the positive aspect of that. Number three, the third one he says is iffah, which is chastity. فَضِيلَةُ النَّفْسِ الشَّهْوَانِيَّةِ. That is basically the virtuous aspect of our desire. Right? Because chastity is where the balance is in exercising our desires. If it's to the level of chastity, where you're basically allowing yourself to indulge in the halal and away from the haram, and not in the haram, then that is the moderation. That is what you call chastity. So then the last one, the justice aspect, he says, وَالْعَدْلُ فَضِيلَةٌ عَامَّةٌ فِي الْجَمِيعِ. That governs all of them. That's a general virtue which encompasses all of them, because in all of these things you need moderation. So it's almost like there are three really, and the fourth one is a completion of all of the completion of those three. They're not really on equal footing, because the adl spans all of them, and you need that justice and moderation to be able to moderate what it means by chastity, what it means by knowledge, and what it means by bravery. Because you don't want to overdo it. Too much bravery, the guy's going to do something crazy. Too less bravery, he's not going to even do what's necessary. Right? That's basically what he's talking about. And then he says that, you know, among all of these now, among all of these faculties, the intelligence faculty, what he calls an-nafsun natika, the intelligence faculty, he says clearly that has to be the most superior faculty of all of them. Like, if you think about it, if you've got the faculty of desire, faculty of anger and bravery, and faculty of knowledge, which one do you think is most important? I mean, they're all necessary, but which one is most important?
the knowledge one, right? Because that governs the others as well, in a sense. So that's why he says that there's no doubt that the intelligence aspect of it is the most noble of these faculties. And that's why the virtue that comes with that, which was knowledge, right? Because that comes with intelligence, that has to be the most virtuous of these virtues, among the four virtues. Right? And this virtue cannot be found completely without having knowledge. And then he's telling us the whole trail here. He says that, but your knowledge cannot be completed and cannot be found without it. So you need intelligence and you need knowledge. You need them together. Al-Allama Nasiruddin al-Tusi, he mentions at the beginning, he has a treatise called Adabul Muta'allimin, the etiquette of those who study. He says, Sharaful ilmi la yakhfa ala ahad. The honor of knowledge should not be hidden on anybody. I mean, it's something quite clear, quite straightforward. إِذِ الْعِلْمُ هُوَ الْمُخْتَصْ بِالْإِنسَانِيَّةِ. Because knowledge, the ability to gain more knowledge. Do you see any other animal doing that? Any other animate being doing that? You don't. It's something that is distinctively for human beings. Only humans go and study in schools and go to university and study books. No other animal does that. They speak, they procreate, they have desire, they eat. They do all of that, but they don't study. It's the thing which distinctively only human beings do. The animals also kill and murder and pillage and everything else. But humans, the one thing which is distinctive is that. And that, obviously, he says that that's why everybody should understand that if that's what makes us so special as human beings, then it must be the most noble characteristic. لأن جميع الخصال سوى العلم يشترك فيه الإنسان وسائر الحيوانات كالشجاعة والقوة والشفقة. Because if you have bravery, you know, among the four issues we read, the bravery, the desire, the strength, the compassion, you find that in all animals. But knowledge, you don't find in any other animal. Only in the human being. وَبِهِ أَظْهَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَضْلَ آدَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامَ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And that is, it was knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to show the virtue of Adam alayhi salam over all the angels as well. وَأَمَرَهُمْ بِالسُّجُودِ, and then told them to prostrate. And of course, one of the biggest things is that it is the only means to gain, basically it is only the means for eternal fortune and bliss, as long as action comes along with it according to its demands. Ilm and action, that's all it is. So may Allah make this an inspiration for us to continue if we're studying knowledge, and to never give it up. To never give it up. If you're already teaching, then obviously the way to learn more knowledge, if you can't go and formally take a class, is to take on a new subject and study it for yourself, and just ask where guidance is needed. Otherwise, if you can't do that, then for those who are not ulama, then they just study with others. And again, you've got your whole life to become an alim. Right, so we just want to see before we die what level we've gotten to. That's the most important thing. Let us not abandon it completely if we can't get it all at once. Right, so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us beneficial knowledge, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a zina for us, an adornment for us. اللهم انت السلام منك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا معدن الجود والكرم اغفر لنا وارحمنا اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واهدنا وارزقنا اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات يا الله we ask you for your special forgiveness. Oh Allah, forgive us our wrongdoings, our excesses. Ya Allah, we ask you for forgiveness from all the sins we have committed, from all of our weaknesses, from all of our deficiencies. Oh Allah, we ask that you make us among those who are close to you, those who can live a life of piety and taqwa. Oh Allah, we are surrounded by difficulties, we are surrounded by temptations, we are surrounded by distractions. Oh Allah, we are indulgent and involved with so many things that are useless for us. that is of no benefit to us. In many cases, that is of no benefit to us, both in this world or the hereafter. O Allah, we ask that you give us true knowledge and discernment, true bravery. O Allah, true aspiration. O Allah, bless us in what you have given us. O Allah, you've given us so many opportunities. We ask that you make our circumstance conducive to taking benefit from these opportunities. O Allah, we have a life ahead of us. Only you know how long we will stay, how long we will live, and how long we will be in this world. O Allah, we ask that you make it a full and a wholesome life, a hayatan tayyiba. O Allah, that you protect us from all forms of evil which are out there, all forms of depression, all forms of dissatisfaction with you especially. O Allah, make us satisfied with you. And O Allah, you be satisfied with us. O Allah, make us satisfied with you and you be satisfied with us. O Allah, do not allow us to become so tempted by other things that it makes us forget you. O Allah, remedy our heedlessness. O Allah, we have so many opportunities. Give us the ability to take benefit from these opportunities. O Allah, make us of those who are imams of goodness, who are leaders of goodness, who bring about and who produce good in this world, who contribute to good and virtue in this world. O Allah, we ask that you balance our characteristics, our conduct. You grant us moderation and understanding. You protect us from the pitfalls that life brings in front of us. You protect us from the shaitan. You preserve us, our families and our children. You embellish us with beneficial knowledge and beneficial character. You give us a life full of action and fulfilling good deeds. And O Allah, those good deeds which are required by our knowledge. O Allah, we ask that when in our final year before we pass away, that we're better off than we've ever been before in our life. Make the last part of our life the best part of our life. And make the best part of our existence when we stand in front of you on the Day of Judgment. O Allah, we know we're asking you for a huge amount and we have no actions to show for this. But O Allah, we know that your generosity knows no bounds. So we ask you, Ya Allah, based on your mercy, that you turn the situation for us and make us of the fortunate ones in this world and especially in the hereafter. Accept these gatherings from us. Accept our coming here. O Allah, accept our sitting here. And O Allah, make it a source of barakah for just not us, but for everything around us and for our work and our family and everybody else. O Allah, we ask that you accept this place and allow great guidance to spread from here. O Allah, you remove any troubles and any difficulties. And you grant us afiyah in everything that we do. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifuna wa salamun ala al mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.